Welcome to the Watershed Teaching Podcast. Watershed is the high school ministry of Perimeter Church in Johns Creek, Georgia. Perimeter Church is part of the Presbyterian Church in America. Watershed is a place where we hope high school students would connect, receive, and transform. We want to see students connect with God and others through healthy community, receive His truth through gospel-centered, grace-based teaching, and be transformed by the gospel to then go transform their world. Thank you for downloading this podcast. For more information, please visit us at www.perimeter.org/watershed.
So he got up and came to his father. But while he was still a long way off, his father saw him and felt compassion for him and ran and embraced him and kissed him. And the son said to him, "Father, I have sinned against heaven and in your sight. I am no longer worthy to be called your son." But the father said to his slaves, "Quickly, bring out the best robe and put it on him, and put a ring on his hand and sandals on his feet, and bring the fattened calf, kill it, and let us eat and celebrate. For this son of mine was dead and has come to life again. He was lost and he has been found." And they began to celebrate. Now his older son was in the field, and when he came and approached the house, he heard music and dancing. And he summoned one of the servants. Back one, please. Thanks. And began inquiring what these things could be. And he said to him, "Your brother has come, and your father has killed the fattened calf, because he has received him back safe and sound." But he became angry and was not willing to go in. And his father came out and began to plead with him. But he answered and said to his father, "Look, for so many years I have been serving you, and I have never neglected a command of yours. And yet you have never given me a young goat so that I might celebrate with my friends. But when this son of yours came, who has devoured your wealth with prostitutes, you killed the fattened calf for him." And he said to him, "Son, you have always been with me, and all that is mine is yours. But we had to celebrate and rejoice, for this brother of yours was dead and has begun to live, and was lost and has been found." You guys can take your seats.
What a nice evening. Looks like the stars are going to be out again. After long, hard day's work, seems like the perfect time to tell another story. Let's see here. There's the parable of the two-tailed goat, or the one about the pig and the harpsichord. You see, most of my stories, they revolve around either being a father or being a farmer. Both of which I love, dear. You know, I think I'll tell my most famous story. And you'll have to pardon my accent. I guess you can take the father out of southern Israel, but you can't take southern Israel out of the father. Am I right? Well, the reason it's my famous story is because Jesus himself told it once. Called it the parable of the prodigal son. I'd named it the forgiven father. But with most things, Jesus' ideas were always a little bit better. You know, I knew his father, Joseph. Only one degree of separation from me and Jesus. Pretty neat, huh? Well, anyways, as I was saying, the story I'm going to tell is about my youngest son, Zach. Zach, he never was too content working on the farm. Didn't share a passion for cow udders and shovel manure like I do. Actually, when I say that out loud, that makes a little more sense. Anyways, Zach also didn't like the fact that you had to wait for your parents to, well, you know, before you got your inheritance. So Zach came to me one day and he said, "Dad, I want what's coming to me." I'd like to give him what's coming to him, all right, if you know what I mean. Because he basically just told me that he wished I was dead, and he wanted my money. But he's my son, and I love him. So I told him, "If you think you can have a better life away from me, I'm not going to stop you." So the next day, that's what he did. He took off, and he left the farm. Left me and his brother Gary. Now Gary, he's a good boy. That's his older brother. He always did what he's supposed to do, never really complained too much, and we had great conversations working the farm together, but ever since Zach left, we just didn't laugh as much working together. Now, we still laughed, just not as much as when it was the three of us. Well, so not too much time went by, and a drought hit, and we had a recession of sorts. But on my farm, we were pretty good, because you see, we were mostly cattle. And so we were making it rain when it came to cows. You get it? It's kind of like a drought, but it's not water raining. It was like cows raining it. Anyways, we were all right, and we were doing good. But I had heard from old man Randall, who had a possum farm on the other side of town. Weird, I know, but surprisingly tasty. Well, he had told me that he had heard that Zach had become a junior associate bacon preparation manager, which was basically feeding pigs. And I don't know where you're from, but around these parts here, pig feeding is about the lowest thing you can do on a totem pole. Don't even get paid. Get fed, but even that's nasty. It's like a spam meets ramen noodles of sorts. But I kind of knew what was going on. I'd received news that Zach had been spending all his money everywhere. Drinking, extravagant clothes, always being the guy who bought everybody drinks in the bar. He even spent his money on ladies of the evening. And I don't mean like it was ladies who just liked to hang out in the evening. Anyways. You know what I mean. And so I remember I'd lost hope. Year one, I was just hoping that Zach would come back home. But he didn't. Year two, I stopped hoping he would come home and just really started hoping that I would hear some news of how he was doing. By year three, hadn't heard anything from him. Began to lose all hope. Work continued on the farm, don't get me wrong, but it got to where about every 10 seconds I would look up at the road, hoping I would see Zach come walking across the horizon. Every time I saw a traveler coming down the road, my heart would stop, breath be taken away. An anxious anticipation that it was my boy Zach. But it wasn't. I would even have these dreams, you know, that Zach had come back home to me, come back to the farm. Those were good dreams. But it wasn't really worth the pain of waking up to relive the realization that he really was gone. So, one day as we were working the farm, I look out and I see a silhouette across the horizon. Didn't look like Zach. He's a lot thinner. His walk seemed more submissive, more frail. But it was. He was my baby boy. And I saw him, and I just ran out, and I grabbed him. I don't know what he was saying, but I grabbed him, and I held him so tight. The farmhands, they probably thought I'd lost my mind because I just started screaming and yelling, "My boy's come home. My boy is home. Somebody get him a robe. Put a ring on his finger. Sandal that boy. Kill that fattened calf because we're about to have a barbecue. And let's get some music playing because we're about to partay," as the kids would say. We were sitting there, and Zach, he kept trying to apologize to me, ask for my forgiveness, said he never should have left. I told him I didn't want to hear all of it, not a bit. Told him all was forgiven, you're forgiven, and that I will never, ever bring it up again. There is no judgment, There is no condemnation. For my son was lost, and now he's found. Well, fortunately, the story doesn't stop there. Because in the midst of the celebration, I realized that Gary wasn't in there. I went out to find him. I found him outside. I pleaded with him. Pleaded that he would come back into the party, to the celebration, that his brother was finally home after all these years. I'd never seen so much anger and rage in my oldest son, Gary. Told me it wasn't fair that Zach had gone off and left us, spent all my money on wild living, and comes home and gets this big celebration. Said he'd been there the whole time, done what he was supposed to do, and that I'd never even so much as given him and his friends a young goat. Really don't know what that's about, these young people and their weird parties. But I told him, I love you just as much as Zach, and all that I have is yours as well. But it seems that I lost Gary that day too. Oh, he didn't leave the farm or nothing like that, but he stopped spending time with me, stopped believing in me, stopped believing that I had his best interests at heart. He was so angry with me. Began to belittle his brother, his younger brother. Began to ridicule everything that he did or said. It was not a good situation. I had both my boys home finally, but it was like one and wasn't really there. Oh, and the neighbors. Oh, you know the neighbors were talking. Oh, look at Gary and Zach's father. What kind of father is he anyway? Got one son who runs off, spends all his money, lets him back home. Another son who disrespects him every day. Needs to discipline him harder, they'd say. Needs to just send him on their way off the farm, they'd say. Even old man Randall that nobody could understand. You see, when you talk to old man Randall, he was so hard to understand, you just nodded your head yes and said, mm-hmm, yep, okay. Even old man Randall was telling people that I was too forgiving for my boys. Luckily, most people couldn't understand him anyways. But you see, that's what a father does. A father loves his children. A father helps his sons find their way and encourages them when they can't. But the good father, the good dad, the creator of all this right here, he knows more than anybody else what it means to love his children. Because he does all that and more. Because you see, you need a heavenly dad to teach you to forgive people. You need a heavenly dad to teach you that it's okay not to be like everybody else. Show you patience, confidence in your everyday challenges. You need a heavenly dad to teach you that it's always right to love everybody. That forgiving is always the right thing to do. And you need a heavenly dad, because without him, you'll have less in this life and the next. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.